Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good Columbus Day, 10th day of October, 2005 to you all. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us. Hope that you're listening in, even though some of you, doctor, are not going to be required to go to work today. I'm not sure who those people are, actually, other than government employees, because most people who have to work for a living outside of getting a state paycheck still have to go to work today. So I imagine we still have a large listening audience in the car this morning, and otherwise we hope some folks are trying to tune in from home. We're going to have a show today packed full of news stories, it seems. There's so many things that went on, just little things that have been going on, little things. It depends where you are. It could be devastating if you happen to be in Pakistan when the 7.6 earthquake hit. But at any rate, lots of news stories to cover today, and we'll be doing so. But let's quickly check out the weather and see what we got in store for us today.
All righty. In Greenville, Spartanburg, 64 degrees. Downtown, also 64. Anderson, 67. Also Clemson, 67. Today, cloudy with a chance of rain. Areas of fog and drizzle this morning. Highs in the lower 70s. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 50%. And this half, and a quote right now is from Napoleon. In politics, stupidity is not a handicap.
Ooh, that's true. Stupidity is not a handicap in politics, and George W. Bush proves that. And some others, not just Bush. We only pick on Bush, remember, because he happens to be the current president. There are a lot of dolts in office. You wonder how they ever got there. Or they just act stupid. Or they just do stupid things. Well, yeah, I suppose it's hard to tell if a person's really stupid or not when they're a politician acting the way they do. Anyway, here's a few of the things that are in the news today or are emailed to us. First of all, we have a story on WorldNet Daily that says Harriet, the Supreme Court Justice nominee, gave to Hillary in 2000. A law firm, Political Action Committee, contributed $1,000 to Senator Hillary Clinton. Harriet Meyer's political contributions to Democrats didn't end in 1988 with her support of Al Gore. A Federal Elections Commission report obtained by WND columnist Jerome Corsi shows her law firm's Political Action Committee contributed $1,000 to Hillary Rodham Clinton's senatorial campaign committee after she personally contributed $415 to the same PAC. Okay, so are we surprised? No. There's another piece of information that we all need to be aware of, apparently. She is a scoundrel. Yes. Well, we've got two Americans sharing the Nobel Prize in Economics, but I can't find out who they are in here. If somebody knows, call. We have a new phone line to call in on, 864-244-9904. That's 244-9904. We'll find out who those are. Well, in the news today, we've got a huge quake yesterday or last night, overnight, hit Pakistan, 7.6. People are thinking that 30,000 victims, people are dead on account of the quake. Sad day over there. We also have a picture of, or a video out of New Orleans cops are on tape beating a 64-year-old man. They pull him out of a bar, inebriated, and threw a few punches at him as three of them wrestled the 64-year-old guy to the ground. So we've got that kind of abuse, and it also shows the another man, looks like somebody to do with the cops, yelling to turn off the video projector. And grabbing by the shirt the producer of the network's TV camera there, and you know, harassing him, throwing him on top of a car. I mean, this kind of abuse goes on. We know that cops are not clean everywhere, and this is just another example of that. And this is the same. I wonder if these are the same cops that helped disarm people, or was that just FEMA and ATF? I don't know who disarmed people down in New Orleans. Be interested to find out. Who exactly was disarming who down there. But that's going on today. We've got the Astros beating the Braves in 18 innings. We were here looking at that on our computer for hours. Couldn't believe it when they had a 6-1. You know, the rookie had a grand slam, right? So they had a 6-1 lead over the Astros. Then they gave up a grand slam to Berkman in the bottom of the eighth inning, made it 6-5, and a solo home run to I think it was the number 8 position, the guy who, you know, rarely, you know, hits a homer. They gave up a home run to him to tie it in the bottom of the ninth. Went on for eight other scoreless innings, and then the bottom of the 18th, the new pitcher, they were running out of pitchers, so the Astros started pitching Clemens again, their starter for the next night, and the Braves had their brand new ace out there, just 22 years old, just up from some minor league team. Apparently did pretty well. The first four people he met, he struck out. Then he pitched the home run ball to the next one, and I think we had four strikeouts, something like that. At any rate, then all of a sudden he pitched the home run ball. That kid had a bad night. Anyway, ball went over the fence. 18 innings. People in Houston happy as the Braves go down and defeat 18-inning game, longest I think in postseason history to have 18 innings. Then, what else have we got? We have some groups advocating a border fence along Mexico. Some groups are advocating, apparently, saying we need to build a fence to keep people out. Well, this is problematic. I'll tell you that. This is a problematic idea. For one thing, it's a state-run fence. And anytime the state's going to be involved, it's going to be full of corruption and other problems like that related to corruption, political corruption. And here's what the Fox News story says. Los Angeles, a fence already marks the U.S. border with Mexico, but in some places it's no more than a strand of wire or a metal rail. Where a real barrier exists, it works. Illegal immigrants are forced to travel long distances to get around miles of tall steel and razor wire. Click on the video. Reading some blurb there. Now, a group of border activists are pushing for a new, bigger fence, more like a Berlin Wall, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific Ocean. We don't stop the illegal immigration problem at the border. The problem will grow into a far more dangerous ways because illegal immigration from Mexico provides easy cover for terrorists, says one national television ad sponsored by WeNeedAFence.com, a project of Let Freedom Ring Incorporated. This is really problematic when I hear this kind of talk, and I'll tell you why. Anytime the people who use terrorism as an excuse for getting us more government are typically the Bushites or the leftists, and I hate to see this coming out of folks who are from the right, and so this is why it's problematic on its face for me. But beyond that, I'm not in agreement that this is going to work. You need to privatize the border, as I've said, and furthermore, what happens when we build a Berlin Wall? Who are we trying to keep out? Or are we just trying to keep Americans in? I mean, we're moving quickly towards a system of a police state here in the United States where rights and liberties are eroded away completely. I don't want to be kept in if I want to leave. I don't want a fence there to force me to stay inside America. This is a problem. And you think it may not be a problem today, but after they get this fence built, who knows what's going to happen? It's not the solution, I don't think, folks. I think this is a mistake. It sounds like the neocons are infiltrating things here and in people's minds, getting into the thoughts about putting a fence up. Illegal immigrants are not nearly as problematic as the people we have here already in the White House, in the Senate. That's your main enemy, folks, for many reasons, not only because they don't protect borders, but because of all the other egregious evil things they inflict upon the American people. We need to start focusing energy in the right places. There is a solution to the border problem, and as I said, it's privatizing the border. Forget the state there at all. It just fails to do what's right in all cases. So we need to be changing our focus there, in my opinion. You may have a different opinion. If you do, give us a call at 864-244-9904. That's 864-244-9904. Our regular other lines also work, 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. All right, here's the people who are sharing the Nobel Prize. Stockholm, Sweden, Israeli and U.S. citizen Robert J. Alman and American Thomas C. Schelling have won the 2005 Nobel Memorial Prize in the Economic Sciences. The pair won the prize for having enhanced our understanding of the conflict and cooperation through game theory analysis. That's a very technical part of economics, which most people don't exult in too much. I was hoping we'd see somebody in here when we got this headline that would show that a free market person won it again. And that has happened a few times. I mean, Friedrich Hayek won it, and James Buchanan, and there have been some others. And even a couple of years ago, we had a couple others at George Mason University winning it. So that's good news when that happens. We like to see that, but it's not too common. Then we have Hillary Clinton, Fox News says, inducted into the Women's Hall of Fame. Wow. Did you know there was a Women's Hall of Fame? Is there a Men's Hall of Fame, too? I mean, is this just a women's thing? Women's Hall of Fame. I wonder if they would induct a person into the Women's Hall of Fame who bore some a large number of children, like, say, 10. Some of the people we know that have 10 children. And then in addition to bearing 10 children, she raised 10 children. None of them turned out to be criminals, and all of them were homeschooled. I wonder if she would make it into this Hall of Fame alongside of Hillary. I wonder if she would want to be in the same Hall of Fame alongside with Hillary. Seneca Falls, New York, inspired by Alan Shepard, the first American to journey into space, a 14-year-old from a suburban Chicago wrote a letter to NASA in 1961 asking what she needed to do to become an astronaut. She got a curt reply. Girls are not being recruited by the nation's space program. It had never crossed my mind up until that point that there might be doors closed to me simply because I was a girl, recalled a letter writer better known today as Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, as she was enshrined Saturday in the National Women's Hall of Fame along with 9 other inductees. Honored with her were Maya Lin, who designed the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., Dr. Rita Rossi Caldwell, who became the first female director of the National Science Foundation in 1998, and Betty Bumpers, that's cute, that's a cute name, Betty Bumpers, a crusader for childhood immunizations, who was Clinton's predecessor as Arkansas's first lady. I don't see there has ever been a better time to be a woman than in the United States than in the 21st century, Clinton said in an interview. The first known women's rights convention was held in 1848 in this upstate New York village, the Hall, which opened in 1969, acclaims women who have made valuable contributions to society and especially to the freedom of women. In all, 217 women have been chosen by a national committee of judges. Well, you know, like I said, where is the homeschooling mother? Where is the mother from 1860 or 1890 or 1920 who bore a lot of children and raised them properly? What about that? We don't really see much aggrandizement of that from the lefties, do we? This is one of their little lefty shrines. Well, we're not very impressed by it. Maybe some people are, but we're not. But it's interesting news to see what these guys are doing. It's also sad news when we see that this kind of thing goes on. The chance of changing America seems so grim and bleak to go back towards a system of freedom. Sometimes I read the news and I have grave doubts. Then I realize the news is slanted greatly. And the only people that ever really get on the news in any significant manner are the leftist types. That's where the things are slanted. Here is a transcript. Conservatives debate Myers nomination on FNS. Fox News Sunday is what FNS is. Host Charles Wallace, well, almost everyone in Washington expected a fight over President Supreme Court nominee, but when the House-named White House counsel Harriet Myers this week, most of the protests came from fellow Republicans. Well, that's interesting. To explore this family feud, let's bring in the three conservatives. Senator Lindsey Graham, a member of the Judiciary Committee, Texas Supreme Court Justice Nathan Hecht, a longtime friend of Myers, and Gary Bauer, the head of the values group who criticized the denomination. Now, are these people really conservatives? We have to get some questions about that, but at any rate, he says, gentlemen, welcome, and thank you for joining us this morning. And then they began with Senator Graham. He says, just shut up for a few minutes and give the lady a chance to find out who she is. You know, people are not really People want their 15 minutes of fame. This isn't about Harriet, it's about them. End of video clip. I'm having a hard time following the story here. Wallace, Gary Bauer, is this all about your wanting 15 minutes of fame and you standing up to take advice from Senator Graham and shut up? Bauer, well, again, it's all due respects to my friend Senator Graham. Give me a break. I mean, talking about 15 minutes of fame, I still remember an agreement he signed a few weeks ago that conservatives have not reconciled themselves to. That's CAFTA, I believe. Look, point of the matter is that we're going to find out, not going to find out anything more than we already found out about Harriet Myers, because the whole strategy here is a so-called stealth strategy, picking candidates for the Supreme Court who have no judicial record on things that really matter. The Establishment Clause, stare decisis, things like Roe versus Wade. And the problem with that, Chris, is that that's a strategy and has been tried over and over again, and at the end of the day, the only ones who get fooled by it are conservatives. Republican presidents have appointed 7 of 9 as Supreme Court justices. Many of them have the same sort of profile. We were told they were conservatives, but at the end of the day, they ended up not being, and the result is we still have a court that may force same-sex marriage on us, and may take under God out of the pledges of allegiance, and may not overturn Roe. And I would hope that Senator Graham and others would start promoting a strategy that we could actually start winning judicial battles in changing the court. Senator Graham, how about it? Well, Graham says, we're winning. Every time the president sent someone up who's been attacked on the left, we have a call coming in, so I want to stop and interject something here to the caller. So let's take the call here and come back to the story in just a minute. Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Alan.
Hello, Alan. Thanks for calling this morning. What's on your mind?
I've started listening to your station in the last 3 weeks, started with Christian Exodus thing.
Well, great. Welcome.
And I'm 17, on my way to school, and you said something this morning that I disagreed with after I thought I was a conservative.
Okay, go ahead.
You said something about government workers not working. My dad is a mailman, and my mother works for Social Security, and they work real hard. So they work for a living. I mean, I agree they did the government shouldn't be involved in all this stuff, but I don't know. It just seemed like you were saying they didn't work.
No, that would be a mistake. I certainly did not say they didn't work. I hope I didn't. Maybe I did. Well, anyway, maybe I made
work
a mistake.
Hard. They other people work for a living.
Yes. Oh, well, that's true. That's I don't have much I don't have a whole lot of accolades to lay upon any bureaucrat, but postal service workers are fine. I mean, those are people that do a job that's definitely a very hard work, but it's a job that's run by the state, which should not be run by the state. It's a job that's it's a kind of business that should be completely done by the free market.
I agree. It should be.
Right. And Social Security, well, I mean, you know, people that work in public schools or, you know, abortion clinics or anything else that might not be right also work. But Social Security has got to be one of the greatest evils that's ever been thrust upon America. And so, those people do work, but it's a job. I don't mean to be just right in your face and offensive here, Alan, but I have to point out the truth of the fact of the matter is that Social Security is a wrong thing. It's a wrong path. It's something we should not have gone down. And people who support it by working for it, I think, are making a grave mistake in life. But that's not what you were saying. You were just saying, well, she really works when she's there. Well, that's true.
Yes.
But people in other bad bad jobs also work. But if that's your point of that they do actually work, then I agree. They are working on something there.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate the call, and thanks for listening. Glad you're tuning in on your way to school this morning. Call back again sometime. Alrighty. Bye-bye, Alan. Okay, going back to this story here, we have Graham responding. He said, I'm trying to find out exactly where we were here. And why did he do that? He said, why did the president pick Harriet Myers? I don't think it's going to be on a segment of Unsolved Mysteries. He made a decision, Chris, to pick a woman. Why did he do that? He thinks he believes it would be better for the country to have the Supreme Court more diverse. I suppose his decision to pick a woman. Well, there's a lot of other women he could have picked, Lindsay. If he really has got to pick a woman, pick a woman who is truly a conservative, for instance. It's not going to happen here. Not from George W. Bush. And when he decided to fill someone to fill the spot, what woman did he pick? He picked the person he knew best and he trusted the most, and that's a classic George W. Bush. I was pushing Karen Williams. There are plenty of conservative women out there qualified to be on the Supreme Court. George W. Bush picked the woman he knew the best. That was his lawyer. He's known for a decade plus, and that's classic Bush. And I think if people will listen and give her a shot and understand who she is and how she's lived her life, she will be a very fine choice. Well, I hope somebody, like, remembers this transcript someday when we find out what Harriet Myers is all about. And as we actually watch this woman and what she does in the various rulings coming up, I hope that we call them on the carpet on this. Remember what you said, Lindsay? This is what you said, word for word. And now look what she really is. Do you think I'm pessimistic about the Myers nomination? You bet I am. As well as a nomination regarding others, like Roberts. We've got a couple more suitors on the bench here. We're not going to overturn Roe versus Wade. We're not going to overturn anything regarding the Kelo decision. These people are going to stand up for all the neocon agenda. You know, you're listening to Christian Worldview. I just noticed that we're way over for our break, aren't we? We're going to have to jump to a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Just reflecting a little bit more on Alan's comment and trying to think, well, what did we make Alan say that? And I was thinking to myself, well, it's because I made the remarks as that people out there that actually have to work for a living. That is not a commentary on whether or not people actually go and work hard and sweat and so forth. I mean, ATF agents, IRS agents, Federal Reserve people, people who are in the public school system, all these people work hard. There's no question about it. But what they're doing is not actually true, legitimate work that causes benefit for the society in general. They're not creating mutually beneficial gains from trade that entrepreneurial efforts and firms would create. They're not doing things to legitimately support their families. My comment was simply that these are kinds of people who go out and basically are in a parasitic manner extort money from people and create programs and policies which degrade American liberties, which bring down the fundamental principles of this country, and instead insert a leftist sort of policy, parasitic organization through the state. They are promoting something that is antithetical to the conservative vision, to the Christian worldview, by their activities, and therefore it's not legitimate work. I mean, yeah, Al Capone, people who do other kinds of crimes, those people worked in the sense that they, you know, they exerted effort and energy, but they did not do work in any legitimate manner, and therefore they were not to be commended for what they did. So those kinds of people, frequently those kinds of people, are the ones who get Columbus Day off. Those people, rather than the ones who actually have to go out and truly work for a living and actually work to do something that's right for folks in the society, namely produce goods and services that people need, those people don't usually get to take the day off. Whereas people who work in the government systems for the state in some ways do. Any rate, appreciate Alan's call. Just trying to reflect a little bit about my comment that generated his call. Well, we have a huge number of other stories to read here. And before I do, I want to give a couple quick announcements because we blew through this part of the first part of the show so quickly. One is for the Worldviews book by Stephen Yates. Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. And this book is available for $18.99 if you tell them that you're a member of the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party, plus $2.50 shipping and handling. You can send all the orders for the book to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's the Worldviews Project, Dr. Stephen Yates, care of Dr. Stephen Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We also want to remind folks that the Christian Exodus meeting is this coming Saturday. We're going to have the meeting of the Christian Exodus at the Hilton Hotel off of 385 on Haywood Road this Saturday. Hope you can attend. It's from 10 in the morning until 7 at night, and it should be a very interesting conference as we discuss workshops regarding what's going on with Christian Exodus, its feasibility for success, what's going to be some question and answers from people that have already moved, a session with them that have already moved here to South Carolina. We're going to have more discussion with the president of the Christian Exodus movement, Corey Brunell. There'll be several speakers. Yours truly will be one of them. I'll be speaking on issues relating to the free market and property rights in particular. You also have Mr. Michael Chapman, Arthur Bringelson, Corey Brunell, and others. To register, it's only $40, includes a great lunch. 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. Hope you can call and join the conference. Again, the Christian Exodus meeting, they're hoping to have 125 people there to make sure that they can cover all their costs. I think currently have about 80 or 90 that are registered, so hope there'll be some last-minute registration, and you can do so by calling 877-727-3578 and get on board, and hopefully we'll see you there this Saturday. Also wanted to mention that Rip and Richie's show is here at times. So stay tuned at 9 o'clock after today's show or in the afternoon, and you can tune in for the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse. We usually also make a quick plug for the Libertarian Party, and we'll do that next hour, but I want to remind folks that this week the party meeting in Greenville has been canceled, because they will be coordinating something in the, with Spartanburg this month. So if you're planning to go to Libertarian Party this meeting on Thursday, don't do it because no one will be there. Anyway, now we're back up to our normal break schedule, so we're going to hop to a break here, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning, as every morning. We've had a busy Monday with lots of news stories, and already a phone caller this morning to talk about some of the issues of the day. We're going to check the weather right now, and then hopefully those of you who are on your way to work will get there safe and sound.
Sorry about that. And Greenville's Barbary 64 degrees, also downtown 64. Anderson 67, also Clemson 67. Today, cloudy with a chance of rain, areas of fog and drizzle this morning, highs in the lower 70s, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain is 50%. And here's a funny little, I guess you could say, quote slash joke. A gun in the hand is better than a cop on the phone.
That's a good maxim to remember. A gun in the hand is better than a cop on the phone. Yes, we like that. Okay, yeah, because what's a cop on the phone going to do? Well, in New Orleans this morning, right, they're out beating up people for whatever reason, and beating up news producers. Now, sometimes I would like to go after the people in the media myself, the way they do certain things, report certain things, lie about certain things. But in this particular case, we don't like seeing the media just beat up by people who are thugs, and especially if they're the cops. Cops are the thugs. That's bad when the cops can be. Now, we're not saying all cops are bad or thugs. Don't misunderstand. We're just saying that there are bad cops out there, and we already know that, don't we? We're not surprised by that. I mean, just because someone puts on a badge doesn't mean it changes his sinful nature in his heart. So there's going to be bad people in every profession, and that's indeed what we've got in the police force as well. Well, here's some so-called breaking news. Conservatives are not amused with the Myers nomination. Christian Worldview Network columnists had politically correct run with Harriet Myers when they both worked at the White House. And this is by Ned Ryan. When my brother told me the end of last week that there was a strong likelihood of a Harriet Myers nomination to the Supreme Court, I started laughing. I don't think he was serious. Sadly enough, he was right. Now I have just a few problems with this nomination. First, I wanted a brawl. I wanted an in-your-face, strong conservative nominee with a proven track record like Mike Luttig or Janice Rogers Brown that could clear the benches in a showdown with the left. I'm tired of how the left in America has used the Supreme Court and the rest of the federal judiciary to tear apart the moral fabric of this nation. I'm tired that the left has been advancing its cause through the court system because it knows causes cannot win at the ballot box. To the truth be known, the president needed a big fight between Republicans and Democrats, conservatives versus leftists, over this nomination to replace O'Connor. He needed something to unite his base. He didn't do it, though, did he? He said, a friend of mine commented the other day, it struck me that perhaps Myers isn't the real stealth candidate here. Maybe Bush is. That's a great way to put it. Yes, he is the real stealth candidate. There's a pretty interesting charge, and perhaps unfair, but whatever. Oh, I don't think it's unfair. But what if this president had been playing his conservative base? He's been awful on immigration, terrible on any fiscal restraint, and he's made it fairly clear that he is a big government Republican. I'm not really sure. I even want to consider that he might not be a true conservative. You mean there's some doubt? Anyway, I'd rather chalk this Myers nomination up to a we're all human like and make mistakes decision. Well, maybe he would, but the fact of the matter is, Bush is only showing his true colors here. In 2001, I was given the task of writing the president's Christmas message to the nation. After researching Reagan, Bush, and Clinton's previous Christmas messages, I wrote something that was well within the bounds of what had previously been written. And in this case, you were wondering, Clinton's messages were far more evangelical than the elder Bush's. The directors of correspondence and the deputy correspondents edited and approved the messages, and it was sent off to the staff secretary's office for the final vetting. Myers emailed me and told me that the message might offend people of other faiths, that the message was too Christian. Oh, really? So, too Christian, huh? Well, was there any doubt that Myers might not be a Christian? Or might be a Christian? You know, I mean, people really wonder? Myers, you know, maybe she isn't a Christian. Why would they think that she was a Christian? Why? Why do they think Bush is a Christian? Because he goes to United Methodist Church once in a while? Because he gives a few pieces of lip service here and there? I mean, give me a break, folks. Here's some more of Ned Ryan article. The director and deputy of correspondence supported me, even emailed Ken Mellman, the political director of the White House, now the Republican National Committee chairman, to see what he had thought about the message. He was not offended by it in the least. Myers insisted that I change the tone of the message. I again refused, and after several weeks, the assignment was taken out of my hands. I was later encouraged to apologize to Myers. I did not apologize. Skipping down, he says, my guess is that Democrats believe Harriet Myers to be roughly equivalent to Sandra Day O'Connor, and I think they are right. I, along with other young conservatives, didn't sweat blood last fall to elect this president for him to nominate at best a second-rate nominee who I doubt very strongly will be a conservative justice. I have given the president a pass on his immigration stance, which seems to be based on having a very porous southern border. I even given him a pass on his fiscal issues, absolutely no restraint. but I cannot give him a pass on the Supreme Court nominations. He says, trust me, that sounds very eerily similar to what his father said about David Souter, and now Souter, a judge with a minimal paper trail, is one of the more liberal judges on the Supreme Court. Dr. James Dobson and the other figures have said that they trust the White House on Myers. That's fine. However, I'm not drinking the White House Kool-Aid on this one. James Dobson, what a sellout. Anyway, I'm sorry. I used to have some respect for James Dobson since he came out and showed himself to be an evolutionist and promote Marxist doctrine. Can't do that anymore, and this is just more of the same. I hope that conservatives will call the White House and their senators and insist that Bush retract the Myers nomination and send a qualified nominee to the Senate. Do you really think he will? I mean, give me a break, folks. This is the true George Bush. I mean, you folks are deluded if you believe that in some way that George Bush made a mistake here. It was just a well-meaning guy that's just making some bad decisions. This is all calculated. This is what George Bush wants to do. He likes this kind of stuff. This is what he likes. Man, I'll tell you. Okay, we have here some more articles to check out. You know, I have my mailbox is just stuffed this morning with all sorts of stuff in here from different folks. And good stuff, by the way. Good stuff. Here's Across Louisiana, Parents Become Makeshift Teachers by Julia Silverman, Associated Press writer, Belle Chassis, wherever that is in Louisiana. Tammy Galjor already has a job working 12-hour shifts as an x-ray technician at a hospital in this normally tidy suburb just outside New Orleans, or New Orleans. These days, when she gets home just after dawn, she's grateful to be exhausted, to fall into bed and sleep away the destruction that Hurricanes Katrina and Rita rained down on her town, her state. But Galjor, like hundreds of other parents across Louisiana, has been handed a second job, unpaid job. She'll be homeschooling her 12-year-old son, at least until classes start again in the Plaquemines Parish, where 6 of the 9 schools were washed away by the storms. I think it will be... Isn't that wonderful? We didn't hear about this benefit of this hurricane. 6 of 9 public schools were washed away. This is wonderful news. Well, we can thank the Lord for His hand of mercy in the hurricane. Except, unfortunately, the government or the state of Louisiana or wherever is no doubt going to rush in and rebuild bigger fortresses and prison camps and pagan seminaries to stick these kids in. But for the time being, at least, there's been some quelling of the storm and the awful things that have come down upon folks. He says, I think it will be a challenge just to get him to sit down and listen to me, said Galjor, juggling 4 fat textbooks she had just picked up. She's worried. She's worried that she's got to have to do this on her own. Across Louisiana, families are turning to homeschooling as officials scramble to reopen shuttered schools. At least 800 families in Plaquemines Parish alone are affected. According to school officials, nationally about 1.1 million students are homeschooled. Come on, it's way more than that. But anyway, we'll let them think that it's not much. According to the U.S. Department of Education, a movement that's been growing steadily for decades. Usually, though, it's not a decision made under duress, since homeschooling demands patience and commitment from both parents and students. This is a beautiful short-term solution, especially given where we are now, said Stephanie Regal, a New Orleans resident now relocated to Baton Rouge with twin 9-to-9-year-old girls. Louisiana has done its best to encourage parents to not leave the public school system, urging them instead to enroll in schools wherever they've landed, said Meg Casper, a spokesperson for State Education Department. Yes, please don't leave us. Don't. I know you're going to start homeschooling and get a taste of what it's like, but just stay with us, please. Enroll somewhere at a cousin's school or sister's school and come back to us. This is great news. This is great news. People are going to be forced to homeschool. Gotta love it, folks. Gotta love it. I hope that a number of people stay out and they can get out of this nonsense in the public school and the destruction that's going on to America and to their own children's minds on account of public schooling. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions at policyofliberty.net. That's questions at policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Been an exciting show so far. A good Monday morning. And on the phone line, we have Steve, who joined us during the break. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to Christian Worldview.
Good morning. I just got back from a trip to Mississippi with our church, doing some relief work for a sister church we've got down there. And everybody I talked to down there was very disenchanted with FEMA and the National Guard and the other false gods of government. And they were very receptive and pleased to see all the churches and private organizations that are doing relief work and coming down there to volunteer their time and offer their help and their prayers. And it was, I think, a tremendous testimony to Christianity, just to see how the non-believers down there are responding to the charity work that's being done by God's people. So, and I was also pleased in driving around down there to see all the government schools closed down. And a lot of these kids have been out of school for, well, since the hurricane, and some of the schools are not going to be open for a good while. So a lot of them have been integrated into some church schools, and some of them, like you said, are being homeschooled. So hopefully some of these families will get a taste of what they've been missing and realize what they've been exposing their kids to, and they'll stay out.
Well, this is wonderful news, Steve. I'm glad you called in to bring this up, because all we hear, you know, about Katrina is the bad things that are going on, either, you know, from the hurricane itself or the flood, or maybe the government blew up the dikes or someone blew them up, and then maybe there was some other foul play involved here or there, crime, looting, FEMA, and all the degraded government officials running around. But the true blessing in all this, as we know that the Lord is in control of all these kinds of things, is twofold here. One is that as a byproduct of the destruction of the storm, there's going to be fewer people in the public school. Public schools have been destroyed, and right now people, as we said, are going to have a taste of homeschooling or going to Christian schools. The second thing is to see the work of God's people down there and who have truly have a Christian worldview being a great testimony of Christ in the area for their hard work and their efforts. So that's a real positive thing, isn't it? It shows the goodness of God in the midst of the storm, literally.
All right, well, I just wanted to give you an update.
Well, I really appreciate it. That's an encouraging thought, Steve. Thanks for calling this morning.
All right, thanks for your show. Bye-bye.
All righty, good. And that is good news. And it's a different spin on things than what we get in the news, either from the right or the left. And there's a lot of things to be critical of and what happened down there or is happening down in Louisiana and southern Mississippi. But, hey, there is, in a sense, a silver lining here, the goodness of God showing forth and the blessings bestowed upon the area through his providence and grace through his church, his people. So it's good stuff. I hope that many, many more people get out of the public school. It's a horrible, degrading thing to put any child through. They don't even know it because they think it's just normal. Everyone else is getting pummeled by it. And many Christians parents are naive about it, but this hopefully will wake them up a little bit. We hope, at any rate. We're hoping so. Well, here's a few other stories going on for the morning. There's so many to read here. It's hard to cover all of them. I'll have to tell you that. We probably won't be able to, but here's a quick one from the Confederate folks, Gray Echoes. Confederate flag in disfavor with NASCAR. This is important. Glad I quit watching the mess. If I support this, then I support their cause. Ain't gonna happen, folks. The only reason I'll ever watch even the highlights is if I hear they drop the green flag and they have a 43-car pileup in turn one on lap one. Confederate flag in disfavor with NASCAR boss. NASCAR CEO Brian France doesn't like fans flying Confederate flags at races as he tries to make stock car racing more appealing to minorities and women. What in the world does flying the Confederate flag have to do with a person's views on minorities and women? This is such an appalling misunderstanding and misinterpretation of history. Anyway, he continues on here, "It's not a flag that I look at with anything favorable, that's for sure," he said in an interview with CBS 60 Minutes to be aired Sunday. I can't tell people what flag to fly. I can tell you the flag that we get behind. It's the American flag. Who is this guy? The Confederates are obviously up in arms against Brian France, CEO of NASCAR. Now, I'm not one who watches NASCAR, and I understand it's really interesting, and there's a science to it, and you know the vortexes and the physics of it, and all that stuff. That's fine. I don't care if somebody watches NASCAR. But this is offensive. This is some public school indoctrinated fool running this thing named Brian France, CEO. It's obviously needs to understand a little bit more about history and about the truth and values of America. And someone needs to start writing or complaining here to NASCAR and put this Brian France guy in his place. Give him some education, folks. So I don't know how you get in touch with this guy, but find out who Brian France is from NASCAR and write to him if you know anything about all of that sort of stuff. Here's another story. The largest mass grave in America, Los Angeles. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of a sealing of many with what many regard to be the largest mass grave on American soil. There isn't anything that points to you. I mean, the text here in this email it's all scrambled with ASCII characters, hard to read. Anything points to you to the site of the Oddfellow Cemetery in East Los Angeles. You have to search for it. But there it is on the east side of the grounds, marked only by a flat gravestone that says, "In memory of the 16,500 unborn buried here, October 6th, 1985. The story that led to the burial came to light on February of 1982 when workers opened a large shipping container that had been repossessed from the owner of a medical lab in Southern California. It was filled with buckets of the results of thousands of abortions. Los Angeles County supervisors faced a dilemma about what to do with the remains and feminist lawsuit. They went all the way to the Supreme Court, ordered that they couldn't be buried with religious ceremony because that would be taking sides in the abortion debate. On October 6, 1985, the date of the burial, there was a crowd of us who had independently come to what the county could not do, honor the lives and mourn the deaths of the children being laid to rest." Wasn't that interesting stuff? I didn't even know about this. There's a lot I don't know about. I know that. Okay, I'm not saying that I know it all, but this is just shocking. You'd think someone like me, who's so adamantly against abortion, would have heard of this at some point. Maybe some of you have. There's a mass grave in Los Angeles, especially there in the true South, where I was raised. Of course, this was 1985. It's 20 years ago, but somebody's remembering that mass grave for those 16,500 aborted children, killed children in the Los Angeles area. Tragedy. It's a drop in the bucket. No pun intended, for the 50 million, almost 50 million babies or unborn children, or fetuses, or embryos, or zygotes, or whatever you want to call them, that have been murdered by abortion doctors here, or so-called doctors in America, with the consent of the mothers. All are guilty who are involved with the slaying. Very sad. Here's another quick note. 50 years old today. Happy birthday to Jesse Jackson from South Carolina. Born Jesse Lewis Burns in 1941, changed to Jesse Jackson in 1957, now living on Illinois. Yes, happy birthday, Jesse. From Gray Echoes also. Gray Echoes has some good stuff they send up. Here you go. About our huge federal deficit and congressional irresponsibility, the National Constitution Party Chairman, Jim Clymer, on August 28, 2005, had this to say about our huge federal budget deficit and congressional irresponsibility. Before taking office, every member of Congress, every state legislator, every executive and judicial officer is required to be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. That's what they're supposed to do. According to Representative Ron Paul, one of the few stalwart Republicans to vote against CAFTA, the bribery could easily reach $50 billion or more. That's our money they're using to bribe representatives into an unconstitutional vote by promising expenditures that have no constitutional authority in their districts. Money. These senators are being swayed by money. Imagine that. Yes, they're corrupt. So what? Since when? You know, politicians have always been corrupt. That brings up a webpage that someone sent up to us. I think it was one of our illustrious research staff members here at the TRN. TRIM, lower taxes through less government. According to TRIM, they have a tax star club. And they say, how does your representative measure up? Here is a list of the House members on our spring 2005 honor roll. Those with a 6-star rating up to a perfect 8-star rating. Each star indicates a vote they cast for lower taxes and less government. If your representative is listed, be sure to commend him. Positive reinforcement is powerful. If he failed to reach the 6-star level, urge him to mend his big spending ways. You know what? There's 450-odd representatives in Congress, and there are on this list, it looks like, 15 that got 6 or 8 stars. That's it. All the rest of them are big spenders. You know who was the only one who got 8 stars? Any guesses? Well, probably guess this one. Ron Paul, 14th District, Texas. He's the only one of the congressmen that got 8 stars, that always voted against high taxes and voted for less government. There are 6 with 7 stars. That's pretty good. And there are 8 with 6 stars. The ones with 7 stars include Trent Franks from Arizona, Joel Heffley from Colorado, Roscoe Bartlett from Maryland, Jeff Flake from Arizona. So Arizona has 2 good ones. Can you believe that? Tom Tancredo from Colorado, Walter Jones from North Carolina. Well, that's a little closer to home. We have to find out where the 3rd district is in North Carolina. Maybe folks can commend him. Earning 6 stars include Edward Royce from California's 40th district. See, there are good folks in California. Not the majority. John Hostetler from Indiana. Jim Gibbons from Nevada. Joanne Davis from Virginia. Dana Rohrabacher from California. Another Californian. Wow. Gene Taylor from Mississippi. John Duncan from Tennessee. And Virgil Good from Virginia. So Virginia has a couple as well. So those are your 6-star, 7-star, and 8-star congressmen, according to the TRIM organization. Interesting stuff. All right. Here we have... We have time for one more story. I guess we do have time. The hurricane mess and gasoline issue is proof that it exists. A major research institution has recently announced a discovery... We've already read this discovery, the heaviest element yet known to science. A new element is called governmentium. This has been around for a long time. Since we just read this not too long ago, who stuck this in my mailbox? Somebody's responsible for this. We're going to skip over that. The government, you know, it's a funny story about, you know, this new element. It's really just government bureaucracy. It's funny. It's cute. If you haven't heard it, call me and I'll read it again on the air. I've even got it printed somewhere on the big TRN or the Christian Worldview desk, just so we can read it every once in a while. It's a funny sort of thing. Well, I'll tell you what, we're come to the bottom of the hour, but I'm going to make one announcement, then we're going to go to a break. I want to not forget our friends at the Times Examiner. It is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and pro-life libertarian columnists. It supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy at newsstands around Greenville or order a full year subscription for only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to order your subscription today. You can also place an ad in the Times Examiner. If you want to, call David directly at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Let's quickly look at the weather.
Okay, in Greenville, Spartanburg, 64 degrees. Downtown, Austin, 64. Anderson, 67. Clemson, 66. Today, cloudy with a chance of rain. Areas of fog and drizzle this morning. Highs in the lower 70s. Northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 50%. And here's a quote from Ronald Reagan. Politics is not a bad profession. If you succeed, there are many rewards. If you disgrace yourself, you can always write a book.
You got to hand it to Ronald Reagan's speechwriter. I don't know, maybe Reagan came up with some of the stuff on his own, but some of Reagan's stuff is really funny to listen to. Good quotes. And a lot of good stuff also available for you at tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. There are audio files of great Liberty Minutes programs. And stay tuned, we're about to add two more Liberty Minutes programs this week. One on the Christian civic duty. What is your civic duty as a Christian? And another one on the Christian struggle or fight for peace. So a lot of stuff going on this week with the audiophile segment. We also have the related media tab, which lists a whole bunch of links which are of use and of interest, I think, to many of our listeners. And I'd like to encourage people to go to the bottom of that that tab called Related Media and go and look at the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. It'll pop up and take you about 30 seconds to sign this petition to protect your private property and to tell the state of South Carolina and others that you believe that fundamental rights are natural, that they have nothing to do with the state in the sense of being created by the state. They existed antecedent to the state, and you can sign this petition online in literally 30 seconds, and we hope you'll go to the tyrannyresponse.com website or .net website and scroll down under the Related Media tab and sign that thing. We're also looking for volunteers to help us at the Tyranny Response Network, either as a substitute producer for the Christian Worldview show or for people with technical know-how with radio signal and computer network capability. If you can help out at all, please contact someone under the Contacts tab. Simply load the Contacts tab there and click on anybody's name and send them an email. We'll be glad to put you in touch with the folks where you can give a hand and help out. By all means, support the Tyranny Response Network. We are the voice of freedom, Radio Free Greenville and Radio Free Spartanburg, and expanding as much as we can, as quickly as we can. Volunteers are working hard to get Anderson, Clemson, that area up and running. We've had some setbacks, but we will be getting it up as soon as possible. For those of you who are still waiting to get the signal out in that area, it will be there. It's just that we move slowly, as volunteer organizations often do. But with your support, we can get there faster. If you're all interested in making a contribution to the Tyranny Response Network, we'd be happy to have you do so as well, simply by going to the policyofliberty.net website or tyrannyresponse.net website and clicking on the tab on the homepage, which allows you to make a donation, or simply mail your check into the address as noted. Well, this week on the events calendar on tyrannyresponse.com, as you scroll down, under the events tab, you'll see the October calendar Rip and Richie's put up already. The Patriots meeting in Asheville, Carolina Patriots, will be up in Asheville tomorrow evening. That's Tuesday, October 11th. The Greenville County Libertarian Party business meeting on the 13th has been canceled. That's normally what is going on this week. It's been canceled in order that they might help out the fledgling Spartanburg organization, which really just started up a few months ago now. And they're working on a project up there. So don't attend that meeting this week because it's not going to exist. All right, let's go back to a couple news stories here. Newswire, bill provides $40 million to implement the National ID Driver's License Program. The House of Representatives passed the $30.8 billion Department of Homeland Security bill on Thursday to fund domestic security. The legislation also provides $40 million to implement the controversial Real ID program. The fiscal spending bill now goes to the Senate for final passage. They cleared the House by 347-70 votes. That's from Covenant News. That's a sad state of affairs in the U.S. Congress. We already knew that. There was nothing surprising here. Just reading about the latest catastrophe. Here's another catastrophe. Discovery may end hopes of using human embryo stem cells directly in therapeutic applications. Researchers found that embryonic stem cells that are cultured in the lab accumulate genetic changes that may be linked to cancer, like genetic name game of telephone. The longer the cells are cultivated, the more the genetic errors grow. These mutations are now finding a much bigger problem, says Dr. Aravinda Chakravarti, a geneticist at the Institute of Genetic Medicine at Johns Hopkins University. So that's also from Covenant News. Discovery men and the hopes of using embryonic stem cells directly in therapeutic applications. Actually, that's, I think I said that was bad news. That's actually could be a turn in the right direction. Rather getting rid of this justification for abortion. Here's some dissent on George W. Bush and Republicans. Here at home, even loyal Republicans are beginning to bail out on Mr. Bush's fiendish willingness to shove the monumental costs of the federal government's operations, including his war, his tax cuts, his promised reconstruction of the Gulf Coast, onto unsuspecting backs of generations still to come. There is a general sense now of things that are falling apart. The economy was already faltering before Katrina hit. Gasoline prices are starting to undermine the standard of living of some Americans, and a full-blown home heating crisis could erupt this winter. The administration's awful response to the agony in the Gulf Coast has left most Americans believing we are not being prepared to cope with a large terrorist attack, and Osama bin Laden is still at large. This is what happens when voters choose a president because he seems like a nice guy, like someone who would be fun at a barbecue or a ball game. You never use that criterion when choosing a surgeon or a pilot or fly your family across the country. Mr. Bush will be at the helm of the ship of state for 3 more years, so we have no choice but to hang on. But the next time around, voters need to keep in mind that beyond the incessant yammering about left and right, big government and small, Democrats and Republicans is a more immediate issue, and that's competence. And George Bush doesn't have it, is what this fellow is saying, and for good reason. Here's a grassroots action alert on the Patriot Act. Conferees to meet on the USA Patriot Act urge Congress to adopt Senate version of the Patriot Act reauthorization. House and Senate conferees will begin to iron out differences in the two versions of the Patriot Act reauthorization legislation next week during the Columbus Day district work period. The House and Senate could vote on a final Patriot Act reauthorization bill as early as the week of October 17th. Call your senators and representatives at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Urge them to support modifications contained in the Senate bill. The Senate that Senate bill is 1389. The Senate bill restores some needed checks on the government's ability to comb through an individual's financial, medical, business, library, gun purchases, or other sales records without any specific facts or connection between those records and a foreign terrorist. It also provides meaningful right to challenge. Similar reforms are needed to the national security letter power. The Senate bill creates a presumption that sneak and peek searches can be secret for only 7 days, with some exceptions. Unfortunately, neither bill requires that record searches be connected to terrorists, not ordinary Americans, and the Justice Department has admitted that 88% of these searches have been in cases that have nothing to do with terrorism. The Senate bill would set a 4-year sunset on the three Patriot-related powers to ensure that Congress has the leverage it needs to get answers about how these powers are being used. The House bill would set an expiration date so far into the future, 10 years, that it would skip the next president and diminish the incentive for future disclosure about the use of these secretive search powers. Tell Congress that protecting civil liberties and achieving national security are not mutually exclusive, and the Senate bill achieves these goals. Well, I don't know if they achieve the goals. They need to repeal the Patriot Act, but it does help. So you can call your senator at 202-224-3121. Call the representatives as well, 202-224-3121. Tell them to at least go with the Senate version if they're going to go with anything. Either way, it's going to be bad. And that's because the police state is closer than you think. Paul Craig Roberts writes, "The police state is closer than you think. Police states are easier to acquire than Americans appreciate. The hysterical aftermath of September 11th has put into place the main components of a police state. Habeas corpus is the greatest protection Americans have against a police state. President Bush claims the power to set aside habeas corpus and to dispense with warrants for arrest and with procedures that guarantee court appearance and trial without undue delay. These new seize and hold powers strip the accused of the protective aspects of law and give rein to selectivity and arbitrariness." So Paul Craig Roberts is rightly pointing out that we need to be very careful about this business that Bush is trying to suspend habeas corpus under the guise of the terrorism issues. These protective features are being removed by zealotry in the war against terrorism. This is a sham, folks. The damage terrorists can inflict pales in comparison to the loss of civil liberties that protect us from the arbitrary power of law used as a weapon. The loss of law's Blackstone shield in the innocent would be catastrophic. It would mean the end of America as a land of liberty. Well, we already have sort of been ended as a land of liberty, Paul, but you're right. This is a travesty of justice when George W. Bush suspends habeas corpus. You know who else did that? It was old Abraham Lincoln. Yes, the great Lincoln. Terrible man. The Backwater Report. Cogent commentary for the common folk. Something changed. Here's a quote from Francis Schaeffer at the head of this article. "Thus, as we stand for religious freedom today, we need to realize that this must include a general religious freedom from the control of the state for all religion." Francis Schaeffer in A Christian Manifesto. Francis Turretin from the Institutes of Electic Theology. I'm not sure what Elenctic Theology is. They sin in defect, who remove the magistrate from all care of ecclesiastical things, so that he does not care what each one worships and allows free power to anyone of doing any and saying anything he wishes in the cause of religion. Okay, that's Francis Turretin. Well, anyway, we have a caller on the line. Looks like Chuck is calling, and we want to welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview. Chuck, what's happening?
Hey, good morning. Not a whole lot so far.
Good.
Taking a break from work. I had an early start this morning.
Oh, good. We thought you might... so you're not working on Columbus Day. We thought you might try our new phone line out. We have yet to get callers on our new line of the 244-9904. We were hoping to see it work. But anyway, go ahead. We're glad you called on this line. And so go right ahead and tell us what's on your mind.
Okay. I wanted to comment on the Thomas Sowell article this morning. He was talking about President Bush, and this is in the Greenville News, by the way. He's talking about President Bush being criticized over the Harriet Myers and saying people are saying that's a weak choice and he's avoiding a fight. And he's saying we know Bush is understandably doing that because he really doesn't have strong Republican support behind him.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. He's probably right. That's about all Bush can do at this point. And I see pluses and minuses from what we do know about Harriet Myers. The strong loyalty to President Bush is a very big disadvantage in the short term.
Sure is. So basically the article's pointing out that, look, the Republican Party is not just George Bush, and the Republicans who are not even elected are not really in favor of a true conservative agenda, and so people who are hoping to get a true conservative agenda out of George Bush or any Republicans are misguided. This is the best George Bush can do, even if he were a true conservative. He's not going to do any better than this.
That's right, and you see sometimes an important split between a conservative agenda and, say, a liberty agenda, where, for example, Scalia in the Rice decision... He voted against it and against federalism in effect because of his conservative leaning, saying I'm going to vote against this policy. I don't care if it's a federal issue or not.
Right, and that was a mistake as far as we're concerned, at any rate. But of course, in general, we like Scalia compared to the other ones. But that you're right. Sometimes their own ideological vision clouds their or distorts what we would consider a liberty vision.
Yeah, I would like for their first loyalty to be to the Constitution and our historic limited government, and secondarily, their social views.
Yes, yes, that would be great if that were the case. Good point. Well, I appreciate you bringing that up this morning, Chuck.
Yeah, so it's a little bit concerning in the long run. Now, the good thing about Harriet Myers is she doesn't have likely to take a pro-federal approach all along. She's done things mostly at the state level.
Yeah.
So there's some hope that over the long term she would, having been in the private sector, so have a good appreciation for what the real world is like.
Well, yeah, that may be true. There may be a silver lining there, but we just really don't know until they actually get appointed and we find out what these folks are actually like here. Okay, Chuck. Well, appreciate that that call this morning, and we're about to jump to a break. Do you want to hold on during a break?
I tell you what, I'll listen after, but I appreciate your show, particularly the comments about the police state. Boy, that's something we really fear.
Yes, sure is. Okay, Chuck, we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks for calling.
Okay, have a good Columbus Day.
Okay, you too. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m., the second Thursday of the month. Not this month, though, by the way. They've been canceled on the library in Malden Road between Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome to talk politics. Join them for the Libertarian Underground, 8 p.m., the fourth Wednesday of the month, Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. And in Spartanburg, the Liberty of Plenty meeting is the first Tuesday of the month at the world famous Beacon Drive-In, starts at 6:30 p.m. as well as their business meeting, which is on the third Tuesday of the month. This month it'll be October 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the West Side branch of the Spartanburg County Library. Hope you can attend, whether you're in Greenville or Spartanburg, one of those meetings. They'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. I'm going to jump back to the article towards the end of the show here, but I just wanted, since we had had Chuck call in just talking about Harriet Myers again and maybe a possible silver lining there. An article that came out from the Operation Rescue folks. Operation Rescue is a civil disobedience group against abortion, which we endorse and like here on Christian Worldview. Bork Borks Myers by Troy Newman. Troy Newman is the president of Operation Rescue, by the way. Washington, D.C., the highly esteemed Judge Robert Bork weighed in yesterday on the controversial Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers. Myers has been under scrutiny in the past week for having no paper trail or judicial experience. Former federal Judge Robert Bork, whose nomination to the Supreme Court was rejected by the Senate in a historically contentious battle in 1987, described the choice of Meyer as a disaster on every level. Bork, considered to be the finest intellectual mind in the legal community, joins a growing number of conservatives expressing concern over Meyer's nomination and asking for a withdrawal from consideration to the Supreme Court. Operation Rescue President Troy Newman said today, as more influential conservatives are recognizing Harriet Myers to be the wrong person for the Supreme Court, we once again call upon her to give evidence for a sound conservative judicial philosophy or withdraw her name from the confirmation process. Yeah, that's going to work. She's still going to do it. She's not going to withdraw her name. Why would she? She wants the job. And relatedly, by the way, there's a fundraising need down in Columbia for Christians for Life in October. They're really, looks like they're behind on rent and a number of other things. If you can help out Columbia Christians for Life, that's sconline.net has the Columbia Christians for Life website there. Go ahead and give them some help. You can also reach them at their regular home site, which is christianlifeandliberty.net. christianlifeandliberty.net. They do great work down in Columbia protesting abortion, and we hope that you'll be able to help them out. Christians for Life net. That's where you want to go to. Or Christian Life and Freedom. ChristianLifeandLiberty.net. So many websites here. If you can help out the Columbia Christians for Life with their fundraising efforts, we hope that you'll do so. All right. Getting back to the story from talking about Francis Schaeffer from the Christian Manifesto, Something Changed, as well as Francis Turretin. There's another quotation here at the head of this article from Francis Schaeffer in his Christian Manifesto book. He says, "There is no New Testament basis for linking a church and state until Christ, the King, returns. The whole Constantine mentality from the 4th century up to our day was a mistake." And this is interesting because it seems like some of the things he writes in there are very theonomic. But in this sense, he does not seem like a Christian Reconstructionist. Now, Francis Schaeffer was also an avid supporter of Operation Rescue, so it's all ties in here to be of a common theme. He says, "A multiple right concerning sacred things belongs to the magistrate. This is proved from the divine command of Deuteronomy 17:8-19. The magistrate was committed to the custody of divine law. On this account, he ought to care for the piety and worship of God, which is commanded by the first no less than for justice and love, which is commanded in the second table. By the magistrate's authority, they ought therefore to conduct themselves as vicars of God, promoting this glory above all things." This is Francis Turretin again, who's saying this, and obviously coming into a more theonomic perspective. He's from the Institutes of Eclectic Theology. I just don't know what that word means. It's not my field. Someone could enlighten me and call. Tell us what Eclectic Theology is. We'd be interested in knowing. "Somewhere along the way, Reformed Christians have been bamboozled into thinking that it is part of the Reformed heritage to embrace pluralism in matters political. Reading Turretin will be a shock to the system of those who think in such a way. Governments cannot be neutral, neither can they be pluralistic, as pluralism is a myth. Governments always defend the religion they descended from. If they descended from polytheistic premises, they will defend pluralistic religion." And of course, I'm going to make a couple comments about this, obviously, but let me continue on and read what he has to say. "With all that is within me, I plead for Reformed Christians to change their political heroes from men like Roger Williams to men like Francis Turretin. There is a Turretin in the clear understanding that the state is to be in submission to Christ the King. Turretin even goes so far as to label cruel the ministry, the mercy of a magistrate which exposes the sheep, God's people, as prey, that the wolf heretic must be appeased, and which suffers the body of Christ to be lacerated in the minds and to be tainted with the poison of corrupt doctrines, that the stench of the rotten member may remain entire. Although the magistrate does not have a right over the soul, he has over the tongue as over the hand, and he can punish the heretic teaching another doctrine no less than the thief who steals another's property, or the robber who kills a man because he corrupts society, the care of which the magistrate ought to have. Therefore, coercive power does not apply to internal faith, but is concerned with the external acts over which the magistrate has power." Turretin didn't think the whole Constantine mentality a mistake. What he would have understood as a mistake is to allow the church to be co-opted by the state in the name of a false Christ. Cultures are inescapably glued together by religion, and since that is so, Christians need to quit believing their religion by rights should be just one of the choices of a cultural buffet. When we think, sometimes when I read Theonomists, I just shake my head like, what? Are you trying to say that we shouldn't give people a choice on their religion? I mean, we should have like people forced to believe? Is that what? I don't think he's quite saying that, is he? But it almost sounds like it. We don't want to have even any options for people. We want them to be forced basically to be Christians. Can't buy that, folks. But anyway, I'm going to read on. When we think like that, we have embraced polytheism as the religious glue that holds our culture together. Christians need to start advocating lordship of Jesus Christ in the area of government, praying that once again Christianity, with its vision of decentralized, diffuse, and limited government, would be the religious glue that holds our culture together. Well, okay, we agree with that last statement. We're getting close to the end of the show. I'm just going to comment here. The theonomic perspective presumes that the state can be transformed and put into God's service. I don't. The liberty of conscience perspective says fundamentally the state is an evil institution aligned with Satan, like false religion, cannot be transformed. Sure, it's got its work in the world, and sure, it's going to do evil things, but that doesn't mean that we can't make it turn into something good simply by injecting good people into it, or by hoping that the state somehow becomes regenerate and in the service of God. It's just not going to happen. Now, I've outlined this several times, and I'm sort of rushed here, so we can't discuss it in great detail on this show, but this is a good article to step off for some discussion between liberty of conscience and theonomy, or theonomy versus everything else for that matter, as Francis Schaeffer's taking far more of a liberty of conscience kind of position. This fellow Turretin is really taking a very hard-line reconstructionist position. It's a good discussion for Christians, and to say in their favor, if we believe the state is transformable, if we believe that Romans 13 refers to an idealized state in the post-millennial age or otherwise, then yes, we can talk about God's plan for forcing people to behave correctly, including believing right things through the state. But unless the state is so conceived as being transformable, then it's a waste of time to even go down that path. And that's precisely where I part ways with theonomy, is on that particular presupposition about the nature of the state and the role of the state in this world. But too big of a topic to bring up with 15 seconds left in the show. We're so glad you listened to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow, and we'll try to pick up maybe this discussion and some others. And until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.